Well, it was the height of perfection. Even my family said so, that macaroni and cheese I made about 8 years ago, that we'd never had macaroni and cheese like it before. But the problem was, darn it, I didn't measure the cheese. And so when I tried to reproduce it a few weeks later, it wasn't the same. It wasn't as good. And then a few years later, I realized it was the Asiago. That's what it needed. And so putting the Asiago back into that macaroni, we've been able to have it again, that cheese that makes that macaroni the height of perfection. At one level or another, we all desire that which inspires, our stomach, that which inspires us when we might see that amazing catch in the end zone that is the perfect catch. Or to listen to someone play music in a way that is outstanding, the height of perfection. Well, in today's gospel, Jesus speaks to us of another recipe, another bringing together of ingredients that is the height of perfection. At the end of the gospel, he says that we are to be perfect as our heavenly Father is perfect. And what he means by this is that we are to live our lives in such a way that we are living them with the purpose and the meaning that God has instilled within us. That is, the height of perfection for us as people is that we are to reflect our Heavenly Father by how we are living our lives. Indeed, we are to be, as Jesus says earlier in the same Sermon on the Mount, salt, light, that makes a difference in the world. And then he gives a very clear example. He says, God in his generosity sends the sun on the good and the bad. He sends the rain on the righteous and on the unrighteous. And so we are called to live and conform our lives in such a way that Jesus says, we are to pray for our enemies. We are to bless those who persecute us. Today the church remembers two women who embodied the height of perfection, who were perfect as their heavenly Father was perfect. Saint Perpetua from North Africa, Carthage, grew up in an incredibly privileged home. She had everything that the Roman Empire could give to you, except she came to the point where she was dissatisfied with worshiping Roman gods. And she heard of this itinerant carpenter named Jesus, and she decided that she too wanted to follow him. When her father got word of her desire, he tried to dissuade her from being a Christian. After all, he said, Perpetua, you have a baby. You're newly married. And she said, Father, what do you call this vase over here? Can you call it by any other name than a vase? And he said, no, child, you can't. And so she said, I can't be called by any other name than Christian. Her servant, to whom she was very close, named Felicity, was pregnant, had also become a Christian. And there they were before the proconsul, who demanded of them, will you deny your faith and sacrifice to the gods? And they said, we cannot do so. But what is remarkable is we have a first-hand account of what they experienced leading to their martyrdom. It's the earliest example of a woman writing, and it is the first-hand account of Perpetua's imprisonment and then her going to death with Felicity and three other young Christians. What these young saints, and by the way, Perpetua was 22 years of age, what these young saints illustrate for us is that in a world like this, we can live differently. In a world like this, we can be people who are learning to live in relation to our enemies, in relation to those who oppose us, not with anger, not with wanting to get even, but with a quiet confidence that our God is the God who inspires us to follow a recipe that is very different from the recipe of the world. Inspires us to understand that we are called to be perfect. That is, to live our lives with the goal in mind, which is to be like him now, so that we can share with him life forever in eternity. Saints Perpetua and Felicity are an inspiration for us to live according to the teaching of Jesus. May their prayers inspire you and me to be perfect, for our Heavenly Father is perfect. And this is the height of perfection.